Also, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam's character as a father is worth mentioning. Like you see, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O those who believe, Inna min azwajikum wa awladikum, some from among your spouses and your children, aduwallakum, they can be your enemies. Fahzuruhum wa intafu wa tasfahu wa taghfiru. So what to do? Fahzuruhum, be cautious of them so that their enmity does not harm you. But what should be your attitude? Wa intafu, you pardon them. Wa tasfahu, overlook. Wa taghfiru, and forgive them. Fa inna allaha ghafurur rahim. So Allah is most forgiving, continuously merciful. And you see, for forgiving, there are three words mentioned in the Quran, and three of them are mentioned here together. That is to forgive your spouse, your children. And it has a lesson for us, because see, in forgiving, one has benefit. Why? Because if Yaqub alayhi salam did not forgive them, maybe they would have transgressed and tried to kill him or do any other evil deed. Yaqub alayhi salam forgave them, so it was better for him. Otherwise, the sons would have taken any other step. So the most important thing in the relationship between the parents and the children, or between the husband and wife, what is that? Forgive each other. And although Yaqub alayhi salam knows they were lying, but still he ignores them. Also, we see Allah Ta'ala gave so much beauty to Yusuf alayhi salam. Still in this story, in this episode, it seems that he's very humble. He's never arrogant because of his good looks. What do? Someone praises us, then we think others are lowly, huh? And this is Yusuf alayhi salam's quality, that he was very good looking. But the attribute that overpowered his personality was, he was a muhsin. Now one is good looking, and that is by birth, not his or his parents' credit. The credit does not go to us if we have good looks, nice physique. Allah created us like this. So the quality on which lies the value of a person is not only the beauty, but it is ihsan, a step ahead of husn, beauty. What? Be a muhsin. Remember, when any trials come to you, always ponder, am I getting closer to Allah through these trials or not? Because sometimes Allah Ta'ala sends the trial so that my slave comes closer to me. Man is sometimes so obsessed with this worldly life, its glamour, that he forgets Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala wants him to leave the worldly glamour and come to him. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala wants to give more strength to people through giving them trials, like it happened to Yusuf alayhi salam. Now he had no flaws, he was innocent, but trials came one after another to him. So these trials were not a punishment for him, but that was to increase his stamina. Like other prophets, they used to preach. We see Yusuf alayhi salam does not preach all the time. Only a few occasions are mentioned. And it does not seem he was opposed like the other prophets. So we learn from here that everyone's trial is different. The other prophets did not see such trials in the beginning when they were small. They lived a normal life up till about 40 years. Neither they were separated from the family, nor from their homes, nor they were imprisoned. Before prophethood, they had a normal life. But as soon as they announced, the nation was against them. But what happened with Yusuf alayhi salam? The beginning of his life had different trials. So what does this show? That everyone has different trials. Many people are opposed outside their homes, while some, they are opposed inside their homes. Anyway, it is Allah's way. It is not that he did not preach, okay? Of course, when the rule of Egypt came under his control, so he won the hearts of people by serving them. And then, as I told you, his family was there for 500 years. They lived with honor.
Now, here's a comment. Yusuf alayhi salam has a balanced personality. Zulaikha tries to seduce him. Brothers were rude to him, but still he has a balanced personality. Otherwise, if someone has an attitude problem, so mostly the reason given is, oh poor thing, his mother died when he was an infant. And mostly such people, on hearing this, then they do not reform themselves. And they think, as we have been wronged, so we would not reform. They'll keep complaining. Mostly those who see unusual, tough situations, they take revenge of their deprivation from the society. This is a very important point. And others too, besides their bad attitude, justify them by showing sympathy, and no one tells them the right word. Poor thing, see, he does not have a mother. And they say, if she was there, she would have taught him. So we should change this attitude as well. Because if the mother is not there, Allah Ta'ala loves more than 70 mothers. If he takes one ni'mat, he grants some other ni'mat. But as we are always busy in love things, we do not spare anyone and discuss about everyone. So please, those who are reading the Quran, understanding the Quran, should at least leave this habit. Do not discuss everyone. Oh, he does not have children, or why has he only one child, or he has 10 children. All the time we are busy discussing people. You see, to work for deen, we have to leave all this. Like it is said, great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events. Like this happened and that happened, we did not have electricity, no water, I got late. And small minds discuss people. So analyze your personality. Which category do you fall in? And be just. Do not give allowances to yourself. Only then there will be some improvement. We always think about others. So and so does this. And we forget our own beings. We should analyze, what do we discuss? People, ideas, future planning. What is the topic of our discussion? The one who serves deen, he then forgets to discuss people. He just thinks, what work I have to do.
Now ponder, till the time we did not have to learn the lessons of the Quran, we used to talk about people, remember them and then talk about them. And now when we read the Quran, we're so busy with the Quran, we're trying to understand the Quran, we still remember people, but we remember them in a good sense, in a good manner. We don't remember such irrelevant things. He did that and she did this. Thus, we become irritated. No, then you forget such things. And this change should come after reading and understanding the Quran. You should leave backbiting. And it is true, when Allah's greatness enters one's heart, so one forgets his own being. Now there is a question. Surat Yusuf is recited and blown on the face of the bride so that she looks beautiful. Or when a woman is pregnant, so it is recited so that the baby is beautiful. No, there's no such proof. Tell me, are we using the Quran or reading it to look more beautiful, apparently? But actually, this surah, this beautiful surah, makes one beautiful from inside. If one understands its meanings, the injunctions and lessons, and then acts upon it, it makes one's dealings, attitude, conduct beautiful. We do not ponder on this angle of the Holy Quran. We only look at the superficial. Another question. When Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam sent Yusuf alayhi salam with his brothers, so there is no mention of Allah's protection or trust in Allah. That is when they took him to well. What is the reason? Did Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam feel it later on that he did not give Hazrat Yusuf in Allah's protection, and due to this Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was separated from him? Is Hajatan fi nafse Yaquba radaha, verse 68, the fear he had in his heart, is this the sixth sense? In some interpretations it comes, tafsirs, it comes, like all the prophets committed a mistake, so Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam's mistake was this, that he did not give Yusuf alayhi salam in Allah's protection. Now the answer is that he may have forgotten. Remember please, when Allah Ta'ala wants to do something, then it is we who forget. We will forget to read the dua, and when some loss comes, then you will remember, oh, I did not read the morning and evening duas. We are humans, and this shows prophets too were humans. Remember, for prophets, do not use the word mistake, like you read, it was his mistake, okay? Do not ever use the word mistake, but you say, forgot. And Quran tells us about Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, what? Fanasiya, he forgot, right? And of course, it was his forgetfulness, not a mistake. Also, you see, Yusuf al-Islam was born in a prophet's house, but he was brought up in a secular environment, and then he was granted prophethood. Why do we put excuses? We didn't get a good environment. We didn't get such a house. My parents were not religious. Thus, we are not very good Muslims, good humans, huh? This is all an excuse. Yusuf al-Islam hardly got any opportunity to learn from his father, because at the age of 13, 14, or maybe he was 15, when he was separated. And this was a very young age, not a mature age. Again, we have a lesson that when Yusuf al-Islam meets his family, he does not throw a party, he does not celebrate. He does not forget Allah at that time, but he remembers Allah's favors, and he still worries for his end result. Fatir as-samawati wal-ard. Now, when this comes at the end of the story, it gives the picture of a true mu'min, a person whose parents and brothers are bowing down to him. Egypt, which was a superpower, now he rules it. The masses love him. When everything or everyone bends down to him, when he got the rule, so it is like everything bows down to him. But then he does not take support of anything. And after achieving an important objective by meeting his parents and brothers, he was at peace to devote himself directly to praising Allah Ta'ala and to supplicating him. Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, anta waliyyi fi dunya wal-akhira. O the creator of the heavens and the earth, you are my protector in the world and in the hereafter. Verse 101. The word dunya comes here. That is not to trust any of these things. Anta waliyyi fi dunya wal-akhira. You're my protector in this world and in the hereafter. Nothing to be trusted. But I worry for tawaffani musliman. Make me die as a Muslim. Because if I do not die as a Muslim, then all this power cannot avail me, cannot give me salvation. So worth noticing in this dawah is the prayer for a good end to life. It presents before us a profile of the typical servants of Allah Ta'ala who have the honor of being accepted in the sight of their Creator. Their attitude is that they may be enjoying the highest possible ranks in this world and in the hereafter. Their attitude is that they may be enjoying the highest possible ranks in this world and in the hereafter. And that they may have all sorts of power and office beneath their feet, yet they would never wax proud over these. In fact, they keep fearing lest such things around them may be taken away or cut down. So they keep praying that the physical and spiritual blessings given to them by Allah Ta'ala continue to be with them, even keep increasing right through the hour of death. And here, if you see, the Prophet is saying what? Tawaffani Musliman. O Allah, give me death as a Muslim. Tell me, how many times do we do this dua? A prayer for a good end of this life. Tawaffani Musliman. We think we are very pious. We don't have to worry for anything else. And then, wa alhiqni bis-salihin, and admit me among the righteous. He asks for the company of righteous people. His destination and purpose is this. What do we run for? What is our destination? Where do we get refuge? What things please us? وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا مَتَى. What is mata? Things of use, temporary enjoyment, benefit. That is, on reaching akhirah, when we will look at our worldly life, it will seem it was only temporary benefits, enjoyment. Actual comfort, luxury, happiness and beauty is Jannah. Over there we will realize these were the inferior things we strove to gain. Remember when we were small, we had a few things, huh? Like our pencil case or the bag or a closet, some toys, huh? And these things were very important to us. We would never let anyone touch these things. And when you grew up, got married, what did you do with those things? Gave it to someone, discarded them, threw them away. So the things that were so important for you till yesterday and today you want to give the same things to someone, you just want to throw them away. Today you don't need them. Or if Allah Ta'ala grants you prosperity after some hardship and you buy new things, so the old furniture, crockery house, you don't need them. And now you think, I used to fight over these things. I quarreled with my siblings for these things. So this will happen on reaching Akhirah. Man will say, I cut relations just because of these useless, worthless things. And today nothing availed me. Nothing came with me. I left everything in the dunya. Then if you look at verse 87, it comes, يَا بَنَيْ يَزْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. O my sons, go and search for Yusuf and his brother. Never give up hope of Allah's mercy. In fact, none despairs of Allah's mercy except the unbelieving people. And then after this, it comes, فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ. When they entered, when they came to him, verse 88. So it seems as if they went back where? To Yusuf alayhi salam. When they went back to Egypt, فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ, and they entered Yusuf's office. And over there, and then what do they say then? Verse 93. اِذْهَبُوا بِقَمِيسِي هَذَا فَأَلْقُوهُ عَلَى وَجْهِ أَبِي يَأْتِ بَصِيرًا وَأْتُونِي بِأَهْلِكُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Go, take this shirt of mine and cast it over the face of my father. He will recover his sight. Then come back to me with all the members of your family. Right? Now what happened? وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرُ. When the caravan started, it set off from where? From Egypt to Palestine. Then look at verse 94, the same verse. وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرُ قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ. The father said, where was he? In Canaan. إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفْ. Certainly I feel the scent of Yusuf. لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ. Even though you may think I am out of my mind. أَبُوهُمْ, their father. It refers to Yaqub alayhi salam. Who is he saying this to? Not to his sons, but to the wives and children of his sons who were back home. All the sons, they had gone to Egypt. So those remaining behind, remaining at home, that is the children and wives of his sons. So he is saying it to them. What? إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفْ لَوْلَا أَن تُفَنِّدُونَ. Certainly I feel the scent of Yusuf, even though you may think I am out of my mind. قَالُوا, they said, they all said, what? طَلَّهِ. By Allah, إِنَّكَ لَفِي ضَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ. You're still suffering from your old illusion. قَالُوا, they said, who is this, huh? People of the family. Those around Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, the family members. So, what did they say? You're still suffering from your old illusion. Now, it means that those around Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam commented on what he had said by wondering that he still seemed to be engrossed into his old illusion. Now, their style too does not show any respect, any honor. What is the reason, huh? Did not Yaqub alayhi salam deserve that he should be honored? But the style of speech tells that family members are extremely unappreciative. They don't respect him. You see, when the sons speak to father, their speech does not show any respect. And even the children of his sons, even the wives, when they speak, meaning all the family members. So the same effect is seen there as well. What is its reason, huh? Because when the sons are like this, when they do not respect, then of course their wives too do not speak to the father-in-law with respect. And then the grandchildren too talk in the same tone. Why? Because they look at the father. They follow the father. And that is why maybe the disobedience of children is worst. Why? Because it runs in the family, in their descendants too. You must have seen the son who does not respect his parents, who is not dutiful to them. Then the daughter-in-law and the children do not regard elders. So being a woman, and especially when you have studied the deen, it is obligatory on us that even if our husbands are not dutiful to their parents, so we have to answer our Rabb. We have to fulfill our responsibility and we have to set a good trend and prove by our amal that elders are deserving of respect. But sadly, our society lacks this etiquette and people do not respect their elders. So a society where respect of elders end, then moral decline comes to that nation and people with bad conduct are neither peaceful nor they can give peace to others. Living among people with bad conduct creates unrest, no matter how pious one is. But if he uses bad language, on the day of Qiyamah, he will be the poorest. You know, Rasulullah ﷺ said, this is the gist of a hadith, do you know who will be a pauper on the day of Qiyamah? People asked, Allah and His Rasul know. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, a person who will come with piety deeds, but along with this, he had abused someone, used bad language, shed someone's blood, hit someone. So all these people will be waiting to take their revenge and they will come one by one and take away his piety deeds until when no piety deed will be left with him. Even then, some people will be standing over there waiting to take their haq, their right. Then what will happen? Their evil deeds will be given to this person and he will be punished for that too. Rasulullah ﷺ said, such a person is the poorest, meaning to backbite, betray in someone's secrets, such things, okay? Don't ever do this. Another question, if the elders show bad attitude. So you see, this too is not right. The elders, they too should not show bad attitude. But anyway, you have to be dutiful to your parents and you not to show any rude attitude, okay? The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, the heaviest thing to be placed in the balance of a believing slave on the day of judgment will be good behavior, good akhlaq. And people with good moral, good akhlaq, they take goodness of dunya and akhirah. Now you see, why were these 10 brothers different from these two brothers, especially in their akhlaq, in their behavior, conduct, Now, one of its reason can be that it was because of the mother. And you see, a mother's lap is a cool. The character, conduct which a mother can teach, no one else can. Man accepts the effects from the outside as well. But what man learns from the mother, it affects more. The mothers who always talk against their in-laws. So such children always have bad assumptions. And when they grow up, then they do not have good terms with their in-laws because near them, this relation has no sincerity. This becomes their habit to inquire and spy about others. Also, mothers sometimes ask their children in detail if they visit someone's house, who came, who went, what did they cook, what were they talking about, what did they serve you, and thus it creates bad assumptions against others. You must have seen, because of children, the elders, sometimes they have a fight or quarrel with each other. So this is totally wrong. Another question. Did Hazrat Yusuf a.s. get married to Zulaikha? Now please tell me, is it humanly possible? Wasn't there any other woman for Yusuf a.s.? She was already a married woman, much older to him. And how do we know this? Because it is mentioned that the minister said that we may adopt him as a son, verse 20, Who's like a child who was granted with half of the beauty of this world. He got the rule of a country. So now, how is this possible that he would marry a woman already married to the minister? So, you know, those who fabricate stories and they want to give an end to the story according to people's desires. So without using their intellect, they just give such an end to the story, There is no such tradition, okay? And also, there is no logic in it. Also, it was not love, but just lust. So that is why it is forbidden that a woman and a man should not stay alone in one place. No matter how pious they are, evil thoughts do come because shaitan runs in man's body like blood. The whole environment was such which created all this situation and she was not sincere to Yusuf, okay? Only she was following her desires. Also, when Allah Ta'ala mentions here that وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ, he is the one whose knowledge is far greater than the knowledge of all others. He is the one that is Allah. So we have a lesson here. One of knowledge should not boast or be arrogant. that the knowledge I have, no one else can have. Or the ilm that one scholar has, the other scholars cannot have it. No. You see, sectarianism, groups, they start from here. When one starts to think that my teacher is the greatest scholar and there's no need to go anywhere else. Another question. Difference between ru'ya and ahlam. You see, ru'ya is from ra'ah, to see a scene or an incident in dream, and also to see an incident while awake, like you saw something happening, so that is also called ru'ya. Ahlam is the plural of hulam. Literal meaning of halama is to become pubert, reach puberty. And hulam means dream seen in young age or scary bad dream. Thus it is said, azghasu ahlam, mixed confused dreams. Huh? Another question, tu'afakoon and tusrafoon. What is the difference? Okay. Both of these words means where are you deluded from? Tu'afakoon, its root is alif fa kaf, afa kaf, turning away of something from its actual direction, that is afaka. For example, I turn this mic to another direction instead of turning it to my side, to the actual, to the right side. Huh? Second meaning is turning from the right direction to the wrong direction with bad intention. Got it? The word ifk is also used for lie, to lie. So, tu'afakun, you turned away, meaning turned away from the right direction. And also, bad intention is involved in it, that the heart desires to turn to that direction. Then, tusrafun, it is from sarafa, swat, rafa, turning away. Like you did not turn yourself, but someone else turns you away. Tu'afakun is you turn yourself, and tusrafun, others turn you away. Okay? Now, what is the comparison between Rasulullah ﷺ and Yusuf ﷺ situation? Okay. One thing we come to know that both of them, their prophethood started with true dreams. Also, on hearing Rasulullah's word, Warqa bin Nawfal said that what you've brought to the nation, people will revolt against it. And same was said by Yusuf ﷺ's father on hearing Yusuf's dream, that now plotting against you will take place. Then he was given Ta'wil al-Ahadith, and Rasulullah ﷺ was given يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Also, they plotted against Yusuf ﷺ to kill him or exile. Same happened with Rasulullah ﷺ. You've read in Surah Al-Anfal, إِذْ يَمْكُرُوا بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ. Also, Yusuf ﷺ stayed in the well because of the injustice of his brothers, and Rasulullah ﷺ had to stay in the cave of Sa'r. Also, the caravan people were very happy when they found Yusuf ﷺ in the well, and the same we come to know, Aus and Khazraj tribes, they were extremely happy when Rasulullah ﷺ arrived at Medina. Then the Quran mentions Yusuf ﷺ's dream, and also Rasulullah ﷺ, two dreams are mentioned in the Quran. One is that وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ and لَقَدْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ الرُّؤْيَا بِالْحَقِّ. Then brothers of Yusuf a.s., they bowed down to Yusuf. Same people of Mecca, they surrendered and also they requested for mercy. The brothers of Yusuf a.s. were forgiven by Yusuf a.s. and people of Mecca were forgiven by Rasulullah. Now what did we learn, huh? Now, I got one message, and that is humbleness, adopt humility, be a slave of Allah. And if one adopts humbleness, if he surrenders 100% to Allah, then our characters, our conduct, they will for sure change. Till the time we are a prey to ego, we cannot have good conduct nor any obedience. Let's listen to the beginning of this incident, because when the story ends, then the beginning looks very beautiful. Tilawat.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif la.
You see, the first ruku, the first section, is the summary of the whole of this incident. What happened next? All that is being said by Yaqub alayhi salam. But still he cannot do anything. He cannot change Allah's will. لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا. إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين. وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبَ. But after knowing everything, judging or estimating everything, in a way, after predicting, he could not do anything. What does this show, huh? This is that man is Allah's slave. This shows man's slavery and humbleness, even if he is a prophet. Anyway, he is Allah's slave. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.